الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون وقد ورد عن سيد البشر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. It is only the grace and the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has allowed us to be from amongst the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And being from amongst the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings along a responsibility as well. The responsibility would be manifold, but one responsibility would be that as far as our practice is concerned, as far as how we live our lives is concerned, then this should be in the total and complete emulation of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For there would be no group of human beings that would ever set foot on the surface of the earth after the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam who would turn out to be greater than the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even the greatest of awliya, that whether it is Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi or the Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, but no matter how great ranks they may have reached, but not one of them, or even all of them put together, would never be able to even reach the rank of the lowest ranking Sahabi and companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were a group of individuals that we would not be able to understand their rank and their virtue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them the benchmark for our practice and for our iman. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed explains that Aminu kama aman an nas. That when the kuffar were asked to bring iman, then their benchmark of bringing iman was to bring iman like how the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had brought iman. That the very same qualities that they had, the very same colors that had rubbed off from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam onto the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that this is the very same colors that would be required to come on to the rest of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from amongst the characteristics of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines in the Quran Majeed, that when Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that wa'alamu anna feekum Rasulallah, that O Sahaba, O companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that know well that you have amongst yourselves the Rasul and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at times certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that when they were asked to offer their suggestions and their opinions, then some of them at times, because of human instinct, they would be quite forceful in their approach. And they would feel that why isn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepting our suggestion, our opinion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر, that had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened and accepted whatever you had to suggest to him, then لعنتم, then definitely you would have fallen into problems and into difficulties. But then to cover this up, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, at times they were human beings. So naturally a person, if he was to give a suggestion, and his suggestion was not accepted, then a person who is quite sensitive, he would feel hurt that I have suggested something, I have presented my opinion, but why hasn't it been accepted? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains his favor to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you with is that He has made Iman extremely beloved to you. And He has created the beauty of that Iman within your hearts. That you would be able to feel and taste that sweetness and gain that enjoyment of Iman. And this was the way and the life of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if anything came in front of their Iman, then they would never be able to withstand it. That preference was always given to their Iman and to their Islam and to their Ibadat and to their obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That to such an extent that under the tafsir of the ayat, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again speaks of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That who were they? That Rijal, that they were such men that لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ, that them getting involved in commerce, and likewise them entering into some transaction, it never made them oblivious of the fact that they would have to perform their salah and that they would have to engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So under the tafsir of this ayat, mention is made of a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose profession was that of a blacksmith. And especially in the older days, that where that blacksmith, in order for him to mold that iron in that cast, that he would have to wait for hours on end for that whole iron ore to melt and for it to come to that boiling point, and then only would he be able to put it into that cast. So this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his profession. And now that metal had reached that boiling point, ready to be casted and molded, and this sahabi had even raised his hammer just to strike it and to mold it. But at that moment he had heard the adhan being called out from the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So had it been one of us, we would have said that this iron is ready to be struck. So let us just strike it, mold it, and we would be still make it for the Jamaat Salah. But look at this sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Iman and Islam, Ibadat came first, then came the profession. That this sahabi with that hammer suspended over his head, he would leave it to fall behind his back and immediately rush off to the masjid. That this was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained with regards to them. That حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Iman beloved to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That nothing would have been able to withstand itself in front of Iman when it came to the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And similarly would it happen in every jihad and in every battle that the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out for. That they had never worried as to what would happen to their livestock, what would happen to their farms, what would happen to their orchards. But rather Iman came first, that sweetness of Iman had entered right into the recesses of their hearts. So when it came to the clash between dunya, between worldly affairs, and between Iman and Islam and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then preference was always given to Iman and Islam and to the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to emulate the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this would also be required of us, that we would have to build our Iman and build that love for Iman within our hearts to such an extent that even if that worldly matter becomes so enticing to us, that where we would find that this is an opportune moment for us to strike that bargain or to make that money, but then the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asks us for the opposite, then the love for the obedience of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should cause us to move in the direction of the obedience of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the next part of the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, that وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ, that when he came to the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made sin, vice, kufr and disbelief extremely disgustful in the eyes of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that never would they want to listen to anything relating to kufr, anything relating to vice and to any guna. That the moment that they have seen any guna, they would feel that pain within their hearts. They would even feel disgusted at the sight of any sin and at the sight of any vice and any wrong taking place. That imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that after all he is rahmatul lil alameen, that he was sent as a mercy not just for the Muslims, not just for humanity, but for the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, the famous incident that we may have heard many times, that when those two ambassadors from the Persian Empire had come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they were totally clean shaven. So when they had appeared before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then that disgust, that hatred for this guna of shaving of the beard was such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never even looked at their faces. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned his Mubarak face away. That this was a disgust, that hatred that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had within his heart for any vice and for any guna taking place. And then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had questioned them, that why did you shave off your beard? So they replied and said, our Rabb. So they referred to our Rabb, meaning that Persian emperor, that he has commanded us to shave off our beards. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded and said that my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has commanded us to lengthen and to grow our beards. And this should be the way of a mu'min and a believer. That when he finds any guna taking place, that he should feel that pain within his heart. He should feel and experience a disgustful feeling. And that how can an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam break the sunnah and trample the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had strove and sacrificed his life for, and yet the ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is breaking and trampling the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then it would be the duty of an ummati, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained, that when you find a person committing any guna and committing any wrong, that man ra'a minkum munkara falyughayyirhu biyadi. That if you find a person committing any guna and any sin, then if you have the capability, the ability and the strength, then physically go and stop that guna and physically stop that sin. That many a times a person has that chance, he has that ability, that it is within his household, it is his child, that he is committing some guna and some wrong. Then physically go and stop that child. That don't let him continue in that guna and in that sin. But if you do not have that courage to do so, that if you fear that there would be some difficulty that you would experience in trying to physically stop that person, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has allowed us to go to a level lower than that. That فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِ. That if you are unable to physically stop that person, then verbally go and stop that person. That with compassion, with kindness, with words of encouragement, speak to that person kindly and politely. That explain to him that this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That why are you shaving off your beard? Why are you trimming it less than one first? That this is not the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to grow it to a full first length. And then whatever other guna it may be, whether it is that of watching of television or taking of photographs or whatever it may be, but politely go up to and explain to that person. That this was also the Mubarak way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding any guna and any sin, then at times the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would say, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if it was something that was of a public matter, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wouldn't go about and take that person's name directly. But rather Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when addressing the people, would say, that what has happened to the masses, that they are committing this guna and they are committing this sin. But those who are culprits and victims of that wrong, they would immediately understand that yes, we are the sinners, that we are the victims and the culprits. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referring to us. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith goes on further to say that if you do not have the courage to even do this, that you are unable to even verbally stop that person from that guna and from that wrong, then فَبِقَلْبِ, then at least feel that pain within your heart and within your mind, that this person is trampling the Mubarak sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this person is engaging in this guna, that at least feel that pain within your heart. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانُ. And this is the lowest and the weakest point of iman. Meaning that if a person doesn't even feel that pain, and he doesn't feel that disgust within his heart, that he notices that guna being committed, he notices that vice in front of him, but yet he never bats an eye, he doesn't feel any pain within his heart and within his mind, then now it is a time for a person to question himself, that do I have the true iman that I am required to have? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, that this is the weakest point of iman, meaning anything lower than that is a danger level, then definitely a person needs to question himself, that am I a true ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That am I upholding that kalima that I am a reciter of? That when I say that I am a follower of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that am I true to my word? That many a times it may happen that even for our own selves, that we may commit a guna and we may commit a wrong, but then we would never bat an eye that I had misused my eye, or had spoken ill of that next person, I had committed ghibat, and I had engaged in the sin of backbiting. But a person never worries with regards to such a guna and with regards to the sin that he has committed. Then again, a person needs to understand that there is definitely something wrong within himself. And many a times we would find that, take for example, that out of need and out of necessity, that many of us would have to deal with the banks, would have to visit the bank to make deposits, whatever it may be. So out of necessity, the ulama have allowed us to enter into some form of deal with that bank, to deposit that money, etc. Obviously, to engage in any interest-bearing transaction and to take any interest-bearing loan, that is totally haram and totally impermissible. That there can be no question with regards to its permissibility. But then let us question ourselves, that compare that bank to a liquor store and to a bar. That a person would think twice before entering that liquor store and that bar, even though he may be very thirsty on a very hot day. But then he would think twice that now if I have to go into that bar and into that liquor store, then what would people think of me? And imagine if I have to die in there, what would happen of me? But then does that thought ever cross our mind when we are going into that bank, that this is a place and this is an area which is promoting the worst of gunas on the surface of the earth? That such a guna, which is that of incest, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced war with that person who commits this guna of incest, and he enters into any incest bearing transaction. So we find that there is a great difference in our mindset when it comes to one guna and to another guna. So it is of time that now we try to understand that whatever guna it may be, but after all it is flouting and breaking the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going against the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to build up that hatred, that disgust, and that dislike for whatever guna it may be. That many a times it is that we would feel that this is a minor guna, it is a small sin, and we can just overlook it. But whether it is small or whether it is big, after all it is still breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person has the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then even causing the slightest amount of agony and pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would be intolerable for a person. But if a person is able to commit that guna and he is able to overlook that guna being committed, then obviously his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is incomplete, is deficient. So this is that message in this ayah that I have recited, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained that these are the characteristics of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that iman has been made beloved to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that it has been beautified for them, that they have tasted the sweetness of iman. So we should also move in that very same direction of bringing about the true love for iman, the true love for the a'mal of deen within our hearts and within our minds. And also together with that, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum had that disgust and that hatred for any guna and any vice and any sin. So this should also be our outlook towards life and our mindset, that we would also have that disgust for that guna. That the moment we find either ourselves committing that guna, falling prey to the traps of shaitan, or someone else falling prey to the trap of shaitan, then we should feel that pain within our hearts. We should feel that disgust, that how can a person ever trample the Mubarak sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Though we are not supposed to be looking down at that person, yes, we would have that pain and that worry and that concern that how can that person change and reform himself. But that guna after all is something that we should be looking down upon, something that we should be having that hatred and that disgust for. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is how He had blessed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with these beautiful qualities, then He should also bless us with these beautiful qualities. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.